Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
October 14th will mark the annual celebration of Piamenco Day in Tupelo, Mississippi. This free event is held in Fair Park and hosted by the Chickasaw Incana Foundation. Learn more at inkana.org. This project is partially funded by a grant through Visit Mississippi.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody. How are you on this Sunday night? My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. I know there's a lot of baseball going on, although not a particularly good day. For the state of Mississippi, we are done now with college baseball, it seems. So we'll do kind of recap reaction on Monday and Tuesday on the radio show, and then it'll be full steam ahead on football, which for those of you in this audience, Ole Miss fans, are looking forward to that. But baseball has unfortunately died around here today. May Southern Miss and Mississippi State seasons rest in peace. Join the club, everybody. It's football season now after that. So glad you guys are with me. My name, again, is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. If you're listening in podcast form, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search my name. Subscribe to the YouTube channel there so you can watch live. If you are watching live and you miss an episode, just search Rebel Report wherever you subscribe to your podcasts and leave a rating and a review. Say whatever you want about me. Just leave a five-star review. I have not checked the ratings on the radio show in quite some time, but Haydad and I are soliciting negative reviews of Richard Cross as long as you leave five stars. Although it pains me to say this, he was awesome on the call for the Charlottesville regional. He was just awesome, especially considering he's having to do that from his living room. And look, I know that ESPN's having to cut costs and all that, but you can absolutely tell a difference. It's really hard to do and make it good, and he did a really good job this weekend. It always cracks me up that there are people that, for whatever it's worth, hear the radio show every day, hear that he takes his job seriously, can absolutely talk about Mississippi State without injecting anything other than his honest opinion in it, hear him call games, and still be like, "Nah, that Ole Miss homer shouldn't do what." Whatever. He is excellent at what it's making me sick saying this out loud. He is excellent at what he does, and he did a really good job this weekend. And looking forward to having him back on Monday. We Haydad and I went six full days without Richard, and we did well, I think. But I'll be glad to have him back with us tomorrow. So anyway, the topic tonight. This is something that I've been thinking about today. Frankly, I was thinking about this when I was cutting the grass, of all things. There is a long-standing narrative, and frankly, I have contributed to it myself, about the Ole Miss schedule and how just super-duper easy this schedule is. If you guys saw an exchange that I had on everybody's favorite website, Twitter, with one of those big SEC accounts where they said that Ole Miss's schedule is so easy that 10-2, and they likely would miss the playoff. And, you know, ignoring, frankly, the stupidity of that word in particular, having the position of, hey, there's a chance that they don't if they lose to, say, LSU and Georgia. There's a chance that they don't. Okay. Well, then I'd be willing to hear you out. When you say the phrase likely, and then double and triple and quadruple down on that, it's kind of goofy. And so I decided here we're going to talk about it tonight because, quite frankly, we have precedent. That's what's so frustrating to me sometimes about people in my business is they just like they don't use the information that is available to them to formulate opinions. They just kind of talk out of their, forgive my language, everybody. They just talk out of their ass, even though we have 10 years of sample size as to what the College Football Playoff Committee does and does not do with 10-win teams in power conferences. There has been one SEC team to win 10 games that was not ranked in the top 12 at the end of the season. Ironically, of all things, it was Alabama back in 2019. But a 10-win SEC team makes the playoff all but one time. We have precedent that says a 10-win Ole Miss team without a flurry of incredible wins makes the playoff. Literally last season. What was Ole Miss's best win last season? It was LSU at home. Then who? Texas A&M? They stunk. Ole Miss's win lineup last year, their win resume, wasn't exactly, like, awesome. And 2 weeks before the season ended, Georgia beat them up and down the field like nobody else could. You know, I mean, it was they got embarrassed 2 weeks before the season ended. They won 10 games, still would have made the playoff last year had it been expanded to 12. And so when you're talking about how this schedule with 10 wins likely misses the playoff, it's nonsense. It is absolute, complete nonsense because not only do we have precedent for it, but the schedule is not near as bad as it's being laid out to be. So that is what we're talking about tonight. We'll get into that after I tell you that this edition of the Rebel Report and all editions of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Again, I tell you guys all the time, it's kind of goofy. I don't know if DJ would like this, but I hope you never have to use them. I really do. But if you've been personally injured, that's unfortunate, and I hope that never happens to you, but that day can and will come to somebody out there. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered in Saltillo, Mississippi, personal injury, and any small business and contract disputes as well. You want to use somebody that would understand you, that's not looking at you as just a payday. It's somebody that would build a relationship with you, because that's my experience with DJ Gregory, and that's your experience. That will be your experience as well. Here's the phone number, 662-397-9799, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. Do not delay, guys. Call DJ today, 662-397-9799. So, is this schedule as easy as people make it out to be? Now, I have said that. I've alluded to the idea that anything short of 10 wins without the injury bug biting this team in ways that is unusual would be severely disappointing. But doesn't the schedule look easier because of what the roster that Ole Miss has? Doesn't that contribute to that some as well? Because I've seen people say that Georgia has a cakewalk to the college football playoff. Does Georgia have a cakewalk to the college football playoff because the schedule is super duper easy? Or does Georgia have a cakewalk to the college football playoff because they have the best roster in all of college football? I mean, which one is it? They've got two Power 5 games on their schedule. They're in Tuscaloosa. They're in Austin. They're in Lexington. They're in Oxford. What is easy about that? But people say, oh, Georgia's just going to waltz right through to the playoff. It's because their roster is so good. I think some of that is happening here with Ole Miss. I think the roster is good enough to where it looks like games against what will be a preseason top 15 team in Oklahoma, some people are just handing Ole Miss a win in that game. Well, why are they doing that? It's not because Oklahoma's not good. It's not because that's not a high-profile game. It's because the roster that Lane Kiffin has built is a really, really good one. But also, I think that, quite frankly, we are underselling the schedule a bit. Now, don't get me wrong. They don't have Missouri or Tennessee from the old SEC East. That's not a thing anymore. If they had Missouri instead of Kentucky, that would be different. If they had Tennessee instead of Kentucky, that would be different. Although, Tennessee's got some question marks. I do like Heupel and what he's built. So they got a couple of breaks there. Well, they don't draw Alabama, but I would much rather play this Alabama than last year and the year before. And Nick Saban's Alabama, right? I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be very good, but okay. But no schedule that has the best roster in America in a road trip to Baton Rouge should ever be qualified as easy. But, you know, we've talked about it. They caught some breaks. No Tennessee, no Missouri. Their Power 5 non-conference game is Wake Forest. When they scheduled that game, it was a lot, I don't like using this word with games, but a lot sexier of a game than it is now, because they've just kind of fallen off. I like Dave Clawson a lot, but he's having a hard time. So the Power 5 non-conference game is a little bit easier, for sure. But again, they're in Baton Rouge. They are playing the best team in America, in Georgia. Oklahoma is going to be a preseason top 15 team. And oh, by the way, they are in Columbia, South Carolina. They are in, which, is that an easy place to play? I mean, do you ever just waltz into Williams-Brice Stadium and come out with an easy win? No, you don't. That place is a madhouse. They're in Fayetteville, which is a house of horrors for them in recent history. And they're in the swamp just a few days before the Egg Bowl. Now, look, I know Florida's not Urban Meyer's Florida, and I know South Carolina's not Spurrier's South Carolina, and I know Arkansas hasn't been relevant in like 10 years. But if you're looking at this schedule, where Ole Miss would have wins over Oklahoma, Kentucky, who will start the season ranked, I think. If not, they have a chance to become ranked. They're always solid. In road wins, in Williams-Brice Stadium, in Razorback Stadium, and in the Swamp, not losing any other game besides LSU and Georgia, that would not be impressive. That wouldn't be worthy of a spot in the 12-team playoff. Six other teams in college football, when you take away the conference champions, would jump an SEC team with 10 wins with that schedule? I think we're overselling how easy this is. There are very few schedules in the country that are markedly more difficult than this one. It's the SEC. They're all comparable, for sure. Florida's is obviously on a different plane. A&M's got Notre Dame in the non-conference. Alabama's in Madison, Wisconsin. But look around college football. Is there any schedule in the Big 12 that's more difficult than this one? No, there's not. How many schedules in the Big 10 are more difficult than this one? Not many, if any. How many schedules in the ACC are more difficult than this one? Clemson's got to play two Power 5 teams, two SEC teams this year, but is it truly more difficult than this one? No, it's not. None of them really are. Six non-conference champions would not pass Ole Miss with that win resume for a spot in the playoff and leaving them out. Does it set up well? Absolutely. We'll talk about that all offseason, 100%. I mean, getting a bye week before Oklahoma is really nice, for example. Getting a bye week before they have to go to the Swamp is also really nice, for example. Again, they drew Kentucky instead of Missouri. Things like that. It's certainly not the most difficult one in the league. But if you can look at this slate of games, look at a road trip to Baton Rouge, look at the four places that they're having to go play football this year and the historic difficulty of those venues, paired with Georgia coming to your place and a preseason what will be top 20, top 15 Oklahoma coming to your place. If you can look at that and then tell me that is easy, you're being kind of dumb. Or you think that it's easy for Ole Miss's roster, which should be and is one of the best in the country. I think it is on the second tier below Ohio State and Georgia, with a step below before you talk about anybody else. I think that's kind of where they fall. So, you do not need to worry about getting left out of the playoff. Precedent tells you you don't, because this schedule is not near as easy as it was being sold last week. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Look at this. Somebody's trying to log into my Apple ID from Santa Clara, California. That's exciting. I just had to redo my bank because somebody, and they did a great job. But still, I just had my bank account information hacked, and the fraud detection department with Priority One Bank caught it quickly. But it's happening again, I guess. Awesome. Very exciting. I love it. Here's the thing, though. If somebody's trying to steal money from me, they're just practicing. Like, if you're breaking into my bank account, the reward is not worth the crime. So whoever that jackass is in Santa Clara, California, you know, good luck. Maybe you should try somebody that's not me. Anyway, Advantage Business Systems for all of your office technology needs. What a live read that is. For all of your office technology needs, Advantage Business Systems has you covered. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment, by the way. So tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is the website. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They made me their priority when I bought a jersey from a sketchy Chinese website again, and my information got compromised, and they were quick to make the adjustments for me, because Priority One Bank makes me their priority. They will do the same for you. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Here's the first one. I don't see LSU being better than Ole Miss on offense or defense. I don't either. Nothing quite like Arkansas baseball in the postseason. Whew. Hey, they did it early. That was the first regional final they hadn't been to in like 15 years. I think that's a little oversell, but it had been quite some time since they had not been to a regional final. Southeast Missouri, of all things, knocking out the Omahawks. That was amazing. And, you know, I know baseball's a lot more volatile than other sports, but isn't what happened in regionals this weekend another example of what I've been trying to tell people since the NIL era began? And it's quite simply, look, I know it's annoying and frustrating, and I know players are leaving your team and going to different teams. And this is what I've been telling Southern Miss fans, because Southern Miss has lost players like Jerquan Scott to Ole Miss, right? And programs like Southern Miss are worried that we're just going to be a farm system for the big schools. Well, look at how Southern Miss has approached it. Will Hall's done a really nice job. They've become a farm system for the big school, or the big schools have become a farm system for them. They've built their roster on Power 5 transfers. So if they're taking from you, go take from them. You can offer playing time for guys that you would not have gotten otherwise. Southern Miss's roster is filled right now with guys that they never, ever, and I mean ever, would have gotten in organic recruiting pre-portal era. So they're benefiting too. At the end of the day, the schools are the same. The players are the same. The number of spots on rosters are the same. And once push comes to shove, the play on the field is the same. Could you imagine the financial discrepancy between Arkansas's baseball roster and Southeast Missouri's baseball roster? I made a joke on Twitter that SEMO's NIL collective is just giving them $20 Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards. I mean, they've got nothing. There's no money there. That roster is playing for the love of the game, right? And they went to Fayetteville and eliminated the number four team in America with Major League Baseball players on it, filled with players that are getting paid a lot of money. But they were still able to pull the upset. When games actually happen, nothing has changed at all in college sports. Nothing, because last year's football season on the field, nothing changed. It all felt the same. And here we are on the baseball postseason, and there's upsets everywhere, and there's walk-offs and excitement and fun. And the teams that spent the most money on baseball are not just dominating this thing. Tennessee looked really good this weekend, but look at what happened. It all felt the exact same. So we're getting you a watch company to sponsor you so I can be on time. And in my defense, StreamYard was not working. I was here on time, and I've got text evidence to prove it. I've got text evidence to prove it. I was late because of StreamYard. So 11-1. I haven't gotten there yet. I've not gotten there yet. Can we all take a moment to laugh at State Texas, and most specifically Arkansas? Hey, here's the thing. Texas needs to be laughed at the worst. The worst. And here's why. This got retweeted into my timeline today. This was sent out by Texas on February 12th. And it's a picture of the shoes that they wore this season. Okay, I'm going to try to share this with you. I should be able to do that. Okay, let me take this down. I'm still learning the software. Share screen. Here. This was tweeted in February. Do you guys notice anything? Do you see what that says? The University of Texas at Omaha. And they lost to Louisiana, not even in their home regional. They had to go on the road in their regional, and they lost to Louisiana. University of Texas at Omaha, they put out there, they put that on their shoes that they were wearing today when they got eliminated by the Raging Cajuns. They need to be made fun of more than State. And look, State was they had a nice season relative to expectations. Arkansas losing to SEMO was funny. But putting the University of Texas at Omaha on your shoes, that's so much worse to me. They will be on my losers list tomorrow. On the radio show, for sure, number one. Mississippi State just wasn't good enough against Virginia. No, their bats were their downfall, and then it unraveled for them there in the last inning, just kind of fell apart. But just didn't have the offense. Just simply did not have the offense. They asked too much of their pitching staff in the postseason. You're not going to win every game by one run, you know? Anyway, you're not going to hold everybody to three or four runs. And they didn't have the bats to do it. And to answer the lead question, no, the schedule is not easy. It's just not as difficult as some others. You think we all need a mustached Borky? So I'm 32 years old. Most people would consider a 32-year-old to be an adult man. Some days I feel that way. Some days I don't. I cannot grow good facial hair. I can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. It sucks. It's spotty. So it's more just like embarrassing myself trying as opposed to anything else. But I have done it before. And Richard Haydad made fun of me a lot. And I might do it again. Because one day, like, my dad's got great facial hair. And so maybe I'm just a late bloomer. I don't know. You're just glad baseball's over for the year. We have football to look forward to. Yeah, pretty much, Brandon, you got two more radio shows. That's about it, really. I mean, I guess we'll do some, like, looking into super regionals and stuff just because that's what's on. But it is now, I mean, it's June. We go to media days in a month, so 6 weeks, I think, we go to media days, I believe. And I'm with you. I'm with you. Is Richard Cross the second coming of Ron Franklin? I don't think he would. I don't think he wants me to say what his football assignment is this year, but I'm really excited for him. I'm really excited for him. He's moving on up, guys. He deserves it. He really does. And that makes me sick saying it again. It makes me nauseous to compliment him as much as I have to lately, but credit where it's due, you know? How would we be looking at this schedule with last year's team? Ooh, that's a good question. A lot differently. And, you know, and this applies to every season ever, but we don't know who's going to be good and who's not going to be good, right? What happens if Florida overachieves? They certainly can. I love the hires they've made on defense. You know, they could be better than people think. Kentucky has a chance to be quite good, right? What if Lenora Sellers is great at South Carolina? I mean, there are really high hopes for Oklahoma this year. Nobody saw 11-win Missouri coming last year. Historically, teams don't do well when they travel on the road back-to-back weeks. I think the South Carolina-LSU games are the key to making the playoff. Yeah, having to go to Columbia the week before having to go to Baton Rouge really stinks. So we'll get, I think, in 9 days, right? Isn't that what they said on June 11th, or was it July 11th, that we would get the TV windows for basically the rest of the schedule? You want South Carolina to kick off at 11 a.m. Trust me. You want that game to kick off at 11 a.m., both just for crowd purposes and also getting home as fast as you can, because yeah, that is quite tough. And that's a really difficult place to play. And in the Kentucky game will kind of not be emotional. That's not the right word, but it'll be a physical kind of intense game. It'll be at home. That will be by far the most like hyped game that Ole Miss will have played to that point. And so you're going to have to come down from that high from Kentucky. You're going to have to be ready to play against South Carolina and then quickly turn around and go to Baton Rouge in what could be a season-defining game. It's not an easy stretch of games, but, you know, some people, anyway. We beat last year's Alabama with this year's team, as long as Lane doesn't ish the bed like he tended to do against Saban. Coached very differently against Nick Saban. He did. Pat, that's exactly where that came from. No, it's not where that came from. Nope, that's not where it came from. It was a different SEC thing. No, it was, that is not where it came from. People are only slamming the easy schedule narrative because they already know Ole Miss will be a good team. 3 years ago, where we didn't know they'll be that great, they'd have called it decent. You know, I was actually – you're on to something there. Memphis Rebel, you're onto something. I think some of it is pre-forming a take, because you can sit here all day. Well, the schedule's so easy. It's cake. It's nothing. That's a high school schedule. And if they go 10-2, if they lose two games, it's wow, Kiffin sucks, or wow, they suck. This year's schedule with last year's team, you think they're probably 11-1. I can get there. I can get there. That's exactly what they're setting up, Edward. The ain't played nobody argument. That's exactly what they're setting up. We can all use the Gregory Law Firm for when we get arrested for storming the field. Oh, man. Just have a week long just to have him standing there at the podium and you guys just one after another, after another, after another. I'm never going to get over. I'm going to whine about this every time it gets brought up. Not being able to be in Oxford for that game and covering that game with you guys and for you guys because of a stupid wedding. And I'm only going because I love this person dearly. Like, he is a wonderful, wonderful human being, an outstanding friend. And I cannot miss this for the world, right? So I have to go. And because I love him so much, I can say out loud how stupid he is for getting married the weekend that Ole Miss plays Georgia in Oxford. They have a bye literally the next weekend. The next weekend. And her side, they all went to Wake Forest. Like, she went to Wake Forest. So her side, they don't really care. But his side, like, mostly Ole Miss people. Just a clown decision is what it is. Go to LSU in Florida and get Oklahoma and Georgia at home. That's not easy. Seriously. I mean, the swamp in late November, and we're calling that easy. Sure. Okay. Fayetteville sandwiched in between Georgia and Oklahoma. Yeah, that doesn't have trap written all over it. Oklahoma might throw the game against Ole Miss this season. Last time they played, they won the game. They won the national championship the next year. Oklahoma, man, this stretch of games. Now, there's a bye week after Auburn, but Tennessee at Auburn, Texas, South Carolina at Ole Miss. Holy crap. Welcome to the SEC, guys. You're not really thinking the Columbia trip will have that much juice, pun intended, because they'll have like three losses by that time. Let's see. They're at Kentucky in week two, LSU. So it's Old Dominion at Kentucky, LSU, Akron by week, Ole Miss. Yeah, they can certainly have and likely will have two. It's always nuts in Columbia. It most underrated in-game environment in college football. It's the SEC. Is there an easy game aside from losing a spelling bee to Vanderbilt? Yeah, Auburn. I mean, we're talking about how difficult or how easy Ole Miss's schedule is. They could have gotten Auburn and Vanderbilt. I mean, the people that get to play Auburn this year, they got lucky. Ole Miss has to play Kentucky. Imagine if you flip Kentucky with Auburn, what you think about the schedule now. Of the SEC teams that are supposed to be good this year, who's the team that will likeliest to greatly underperform? I think Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma has a chance to, although they're going to be a preseason top 15 team, there's talent all over the field. Oklahoma, people are really high on LSU. You guys know I'm not. I think that LSU could lose four games and turn the heat up on Brian Kelly's seat. Maybe he'll actually start, you know, not lying about their desire to get defensive linemen via transfer portal and how you have to do that. But, you know, we're just taking him out of context. There are like 11 teams in the Big 12 with 18-1 or better odds to win the conference. That conference is a crapshoot, but Utah might be elite as usual. Utah is my pick to win the Big 12. We'll do that all for every league at some point this summer, especially when things are going to start to die down rather fast here as June goes on. We are going to hit a wall, a news wall here in like 10 days' time. So unless the schedule comes out on – or the kickoff times come out on June 11th instead of July 11th. If that's the case, then we're good there. But we will hit that summer wall, and that's when we'll do those picks. So keep in mind that Oregon plays Ohio State and Texas plays Michigan and Georgia. So depending on who loses, Ole Miss could be rated number three in the country when Georgia comes to town for sure. Yeah, and, you know, Memphis Rebel asked about teams that could underachieve. I think that Michigan should be on that list. Preseason number 7 or 8 team, somewhere in there. And new coach, new quarterback, new everything. There's a real chance that Michigan regresses way back to the mean in 24. There should be at least 38 likes right now. Appreciate that, Eugene. Yeah. You think 3 of 4 fans would agree with me? Conviction tells me this team will win out. Seriously, hats off to the Birmingham Southern baseball team running all the way to the D3 College World Series with their school shutting down this past Friday. Wish they had won it all, but they made a great show. Is that the place that spent all like millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on like landscaping and like campus beautification instead of investing in like saving the school? Was that Birmingham Southern that spent a bunch of money on immaterial things and that led to the school shutting down? And then now we know that their baseball team after the school shut down made it all the way to the College World Series. What a cool story that is. If someone's able to hack into your Apple ID, iCloud, is there a way to recover it? I mean, I think that the simple denial of letting them in, because Apple does a good job of this where when it shows up and you deny it, I do think that they keep people out. Like they do track that really well. So I think I'm good there. Texas is about to hire Jim Schlossnagel. You think so? That would be interesting. You know someone who should take the Texas A&M job, Mike Clement? Sounds like there's only, so far, the only talk is a pitching coach in Oxford. I think that they should have done wholesale changes, but it's not my job on the line. A&M is committing stupid money to baseball. I don't think he's going anywhere. They really are. Congrats on the new car, Memphis Rebel. It's always nerve-wracking buying your first car. It really is. I'm on my third, and none of them are new. They're all old, and like a lot of problems when I buy them, knowing that they have problems when I buy them. But, you know, I'm with you. Who and why are these non-Power 5 wide receivers still transferring in? Is there an eligibility issue? I don't think so. I think that one, if you can get them, you could always use depth. I think that when you look at the group of wide receivers, it is three proven guys, and then behind them, it's Caden Lee, Aiden Williams, and, I mean, Deion Smith, who has not exactly been particularly reliable in terms of staying eligible. And so they need some proven depth. And I think part of me has wondered if they're selling 2025 to these guys because, I mean, who's coming back in the wide receiver room at Ole Miss? So, hey, you come in, play sparingly. One of them, I think, is going to return punts maybe. So you'll play some, but, you know, you're going to be behind Harris and Watkins and Wells and Deion Smith, I suppose. And next year, you're in line to start. And so would you rather come to a place like Ole Miss where if you wait your turn, you're going to come in and start and play in that offense, or go to Boston College and play on a bad team in front of 20,000 people? I don't know. I'm very curious, but I don't think it's anything other than they needed some back-end depth there, and that those guys were there for the taking. I don't think they're spending high dollar on them. If Missouri gets blown out in Tuscaloosa, they better go 11-1 with that schedule. Yeah, Missouri's is – but here's the thing. I mean, that's why this conversation is so stupid. Missouri did get a break drawing Vanderbilt, for example. But Missouri is still at Texas A&M, at Alabama, at South Carolina, and at Mississippi State. Like, what is easy about that? There's nothing easy about that. So, but yes, I'm with you. Like, Missouri probably has the easiest schedule in the SEC. But if they win 10 games with this schedule, it's extremely impressive. And they drew Vanderbilt. It is June 11th. Awesome. Good. Glad to know. That'll be fun. Then we'll get to do that. What is that, next week? It's next week already. Wow. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Very cool. We'll do that Tuesday. Nice. Nice. That'll be fun, guys. I'm looking forward to that. If I'm Kiffin, when do I debut the new Realtree uniforms? So I don't think they can they do that yet? I don't think they can do the sponsored yet until after it gets passed, right? I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know. I would do it this year, though. But I've told you guys how I would do it already, though, is I would put it on the red jerseys or the white, I suppose. But I would really like the look on red and have the Realtree be the numbers. That's what I would do. Would rather the LSU game be the early window than South Carolina. Tiger Stadium is not nearly intimidating with the sun up. I'm here to tell you what time that game is going to kick off, though. I would be shocked beyond measure if that game is anything before the last minute at 7 o'clock in that window, because that's the latest kickoff now. If Ole Miss beats Georgia, how serious will the home record be, and will the narrative that Ole Miss isn't a hard place to play change? I think so. It'll change some. I mean, the crowds have been great, and I mean, you guys have been awesome, and in the way that you guys have approached creating atmosphere at the games, both fans in the stands and then like the marketing people last year, I don't know if somebody new stepped in or somebody left. I don't know, but that all that stuff is a lot different and a lot better. It's changed a lot from when I first moved here, because when I first moved here, the atmosphere at Ole Miss sport events were exclusively awful. Awful. And not just fan, but like I'm talking like the in-stadium atmosphere, the pomp and circumstance, right? It was awful. It is not awful anymore. Basketball's done a hell of a job. Football's done a hell of a job. I think baseball needs to catch up some, frankly. Because look at how you guys respond when you've got stuff like that behind you. Wonderful human beings and outstanding friends make idiotic decisions. They must pay the penalty. Just calling sick for the wedding. Yeah, but then they'll know what I'm doing, you know? South Carolina will be up for that game. They would love nothing more than to spoil someone's playoff chances. Yeah, and there is a wild disdain for Juice Wells. It's toxic, man. I mean, he is going to hear it in ways that players don't really hear it that much when he goes back there. It's toxic. Wait and see. Have I decided if I'll save $400 to $500 in my budget to buy a new Xbox and a new college football game? No. No, I'm not doing that right now. I'm just simply not yet. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. Thank you for that. You are too kind. 25 days till the boat. Yeah, buddy. Looking forward to promoting PTG Outdoors while living on a boat for 24 hours. Thank you for that. You need depth at every position if you're planning on playing up to 17 football games. Absolutely. Captain Borky. Yeah, something like that. I might get a little hat. Yeah, and we're gonna have the camera feed on the boat for me for the radio show. You better believe I'm gonna have a Hawaiian shirt with one too many buttons unbuttoned. Like the audience is gonna see a whole lot of me that day. Like I already ordered them on Amazon. I've got some like floral like swimsuits coming in that are not exactly long. Now, they have built-in compression shorts, which I really like, by the way. So, you know, I won't be inappropriately showing off. But you guys that watch the radio show instead of listen, you're going to see me in ways that I don't think you want to. But if I'm going to be on the boat in the middle of Mississippi summer, if that's what's going to be my punishment for something that I didn't even do, we drew names out of a hat, and I lost a drawing out of a hat. So if that's going to be the case, I'm going to be comfortable on that boat. You're just going to have to see me. I'm going to get some sun. I'm going to enjoy my time on that boat. I'm doing a radio show from a pontoon boat in the middle of a lake is going to be a lot of fun. Actually, I can't wait. It's going to be great. But anyway, can't do Realtree patches or logos on the jerseys yet, but all the scuttlebutt is that there's a Realtree version 2 coming this season. Awesome. I think they will pass that in short order because all the people that have gotten rich off of college sports are not going to suddenly not get rich off of college sports. So they're going to make up the losses with the settlement, not by being more fiscally responsible. No, because that makes too much sense. So not to rub it in, but I'm going to the Georgia game, which is the best section to sit in. The resale tickets from Ole Miss site good. Have I used it to buy tickets? If I were you, I would try my hardest to buy from somebody personally. Now, people do scam. They scam on message boards. That has happened before. I know people that have been scammed buying tickets on message boards. And there's nothing like Ben or Neil and Chase can do about it. Like, it's not their fault. But even a safe place like a message board, a paid message board, you would think that you could get scammed. Like, it would be safe, but it's still not. But I would start there. Try to buy from somebody you know first, because the fees from companies like SeatGeek are so predatory, and they should be criminal because they collude together. It is not true capitalism. It's not true competition. They absolutely collude together, and they very much should be. And I know the government should be investigating more important things, but I think that those companies are breaking law, and I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. I do think that they work in conjunction with each other. They don't compete. They collude, so they can charge insane fees that when you're buying two tickets, you're paying for the price of three because of fees that are not applicable in any way. So I would start there before I would pay the fees to a company like that, a garbage company like that. And yeah, there really aren't any bad seats in the stadium. There's really not. So then Cal fans were really upset when he didn't travel with the team when he got injured, but I think he already decided that he was transferring at, South Carolina fans. Yeah. As I understand it, and I could be wrong, there is some personal, when they're ripping him for, well, you just went to go get a paycheck, which is also a stupid thing to say, because which offense and for which coach would you rather play? I mean, really. So it's not just about money, because it's a football decision too. But even if it was just about money, as I understand it, there's a personal reason why that completely and totally justifies making a financial decision. Look, I don't know if I don't think I can share because I'm not 100% sure it's totally accurate, and it's not my place to share personal stories like that. But if I understand his situation correctly, making a money decision is what every single person here would have done. So, and also, regardless of our personal situation, we all make money decisions all the time. So it's a stupid criticism from angry fans. I'm being a little harsh tonight, but oh well. It's kind of what I'm supposed to do, isn't it? I'm going to get so sunburnt. At least we have a canopy. I'll have sunscreen, I guess. You ready for the NASCAR jerseys now that your sponsor patches were? So I'm willing to bet, Willis, and if you guys missed the story, sponsor patches are coming to college football soon. You're going to be able to sell your jersey very soon. My guess would be it would just be one. You'll hang out until the mosquitoes come out. Bug spray will keep them off, right? Something like that. Maybe I can use the Super Chat money for the new system and game. Not happening. Every dollar goes right back into my little man. So don't expect to see a lot of secondary market tickets floating around for this season. Season tickets hard sold out last week for sure. Do we ever talk semi-politics on our main show? Or no, we don't. The only time we ever talk politics on the radio show is if it has a direct impact on sports. Our 3 hours is supposed to be an escape from that kind of stuff. It is. I mean, we had some listeners when the verdict came down last week ask us what we thought. And hey, Dad and I were like, you know what? Not like this is not what you guys come here for. There are so many people in my business that think that you have to blur the lines between sports and politics. And it's so remarkably stupid. And those same people want athletes to speak out politically because use your platform. And then they do that and they just clap and cheer when the athletes say things that they like, but then they get so mad when an athlete dares have an opinion that they don't like. So people in my business are so hypocritical. They're all hypocrites. Truthfully, I don't care if an athlete speaks out or not, because I don't form my opinions based on what a celebrity thinks. I think about what I think because I think it. I try to educate myself as best I can, and that's how I form my opinions. I don't let anybody else influence what I think. I think what I think because I think it. But people in my business, for some reason, want athletes to speak out. And they cheer it, and they root for it. And then those same people get so mad when an athlete speaks out on an opinion that they disagree with that they try to shout them down. It's just so hypocritical. You either want them all to speak out, or you think that none of them should. But with everything in this world nowadays, it's if you're on my team, then you're awesome. If you're not, you're terrible, and there's no in between. I don't think somebody is bad for having political opinions that differ from mine. I mean, we are so complex as people. Every person I know is very deeply complex. And to paint them into a box of who they voted for and judging this entire human being based on the person that they voted for is so stupid to me. I don't know. I shouldn't even be going down that road. The NCAA is scared to death to limit anything that comes to regulating players' ability to make money. But that would be the schools doing it, not the players. And, you know, they would get their cut from the settlement. I mean, the NBA collectively bargained, so never mind. Wow. Thank you for the super chat, man. Sunscreen on and off. I know. And, hey, we're going to go fishing. And again, thank you for your super chat. But if you really are going to come sit with me while I'm hanging out on this boat, we're going to do some fishing too. Just whatever we can catch over the side. Why do I think the WNBA is giving Caitlin Clark such a hard time? It's a lot of reasons. She's new, and she's extremely popular. And when somebody is, I mean, again, this is one of those things where it's a lot of things at once. More likely than not, I think it's a lot of jealousy. I think that she has so much attention on her, and there are established professional basketball players that don't like it, that they're insecure about it. Also, I think that, quite frankly, that is maybe the only way that they can beat her. And there's some other stuff at play too. But I'm not as outraged about it as other people are. You know, you're going to get that kind of treatment. That it's a physical game, or at least it used to be. You know, if they're going to rough you up, then good. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to whine and cry to the refs, or are you going to get up and make shots and continue to be better than them? This is a very typical thing in sports. I mean, you try to get stars off their game as best as possible, right? She is extremely good. Her game is based on rhythm and timing, right? That she's a shooter. She's not a physical big. So how do you get a shooter off their game? You kind of beat up on them a little bit. But I do think a lot of it is jealousy. And I do think that if that league doesn't get that under control, they've got a golden goose situation and they're possibly going to blow it. But I'm just not as outraged about it as some people are. Yeah, there's some jealousy. Of course there is. These girls are jealous. Caitlin Clark comes into this league and she's already more popular than them. But you know, all Caitlin has done to this point, and all she needs to do is just, you know, when you get knocked down, get up and make a shot. That's all you can do. Just be above it, and as long as you continue to be above it, then they will look like the two girls, Angel Reese, the one that clapped for her, and then the one that knocked her down, they look bad today. So let them continue to look bad. As long as you keep your head above it, doesn't matter what they do. It's astonishing to see the same people telling LeBron to shut up and dribble, praising Butker. Exactly. Just be consistent. If you want athletes to speak out, you want them all to speak out. If you don't, you don't. I don't know. It doesn't bother me when they do. I think their advice should be to all just avoid it, but doesn't bother me one way or the other. I really don't care. They better be careful, because if the WNBA isn't able to capture this attention and build on it, it'll find itself back in irrelevancy quickly. I guarantee that's conversations that they're having internally. Guarantee it. How many people are coming on this boat with me? How many people? I'll give you guys the details about that later. But anyway, appreciate you guys being here. Had some fun tonight. Just kind of shooting the shit. I enjoy that with you. So, you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Thank you for tuning in, and I will, I'll talk to you again on Tuesday. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.